till now in the Shiurim on Hechsher Kelim, we've been talking about different Lamdasha concepts related to Hechsher Kelim. For today's Shiur, the final Shiur, I'd like to focus on some of the more practical issues related to Hechsher Kelim. The Rosh writes in the second parak in Psachim that before you do Hagolah, you first have to clean off the kli and scrape down the kli. Make sure that you remove all of what he calls chaluda, all of the rust, all of the dirt. Not just, you know, what we call dirt, but the rust on the kli. And he says the mokar for this is actually a sefrei in Parshas Matos. The pasuk says, aches hazov, ve'es hakosef, etc. That you have to be tovel, the zov, the kesef, all of the metal kalim. And you have to be machshir the metal kalim. So the sefrei darshins from the word ach, that it has to be just the metal. You have to be mavir, all of the chaluda. You first have to take off the rust from the kli, and you only can have the kli there if you're going to do the hechsher. But if you have rust on top of the kli, it's not going to work. The Mishneh Berurah in Siman Tov Nun Aleph, Sefkot Nachav Beis, explains that hagola can only work to be maflit the bliya inside the kli. But if you have chaluda there, if you have some kind of rust, if there's any dirt on the kli, so then the boiling water is not going to be able to affect the part of the kli that's below that rust. So you first have to remove the rust in order to be machshir that kli. This is a very important thing. You know, if you have a pot, you know, very often the pot can be dirty. Kamar can be dirty with many different types of things, with rust or with, you know, sometimes you have cracks in the pot and, you know, things develop in the pot. You have to be very careful that there's no dirt on top of the kli. Even kosher dirt on top of the kli. Let's say a person used the kli for iser, and then by mistake he used it for heter, and there's heter on the kli. So he would say, what's the problem? I don't have to remove that, it's not iser. Yeah, but the problem is that the hagola is not going to be able to work on the kli, on the area that's below the dirt on the kli. So it's very important to clean off all of the mamoshes. Anything that's palpable on the kli has to be removed. The Mishneh Berurah does say that a kesem on the kli, if it's just a black stain, sometimes, you know, when you have burnt oil on the kli, so you can remove a little bit of it, but there remain different stains on the kli. A stain is not a problem. It seems from the Mishneh Berurah that if it's palpable, if you can feel it, that's a problem. But if it's just a black stain remaining on the kli, then that's not going to be an issue. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Nun Aleph Sif Yud Aleph writes that if the kli is too big to put into the boiling water at one time, then you can be magil the kli step by step. You can put in the first pot and then turn the kli to the other side and put in the other pot. Whereas when it comes to the din of tvilas kelim, we know that you can't do tvila lachatzoin. You have got to put the whole kli in together. But when it comes to hagola, then you can do it lachatzayin. The loshon of the mechaber is machava shemetagnin ba muteres behagola. If you have a machvas, you have a pan, a frying pan that you fry in it, so then you can kasher it behagola. Which, by the way, is in itself a chiddush. There's a whole discussion what the status of tigun is. We know that something that's tashmisho al yedei chamin, yemachshir behagola. Tashmisho al yedei haor, yemachshir belibun. But how about it's tashmisho al yedei tigun? Tigun is not really cooking, it's frying. So is that really the same as bishul, or is it not the same as bishul? It's the big discussion in the poskim. Because you don't have as much liquid. You have a little bit of liquid there, a little bit of shema, but it's not as much. So there is a discussion. From the Mechaber, it sounds like he assumes that it's like Tashmisho al Yedei Chamin, that you can be Machshir, the Machvas, behagola. Now, the later post can point out that if all you use on the Machvas is not oil, but rather like a spray, you know, they have like these kinds of sprays that you can spray oil on it, that's definitely not enough to be called Tashmisho b'chamin. So if you really only use the frying pan with the spray, then that's going to be a big problem. Because most frying pans, you have a Teflon frying pan, you can't do libun on it, it'll ruin it. So if you use oil, then you can be machshir behagola, but if you use very little oil, if you use only that spray, so then it's going to be a problem. So that's the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. But then he says, if it's long, if it's big, meisim chetzia v'hofech odu, meisim chetzia ha'acher. First you put the first side in, then you put the other side in. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that you don't have to be magil the whole kli together. That's a chilik between tfilas kelim as opposed to hechsher kelim. By tfilas kelim, you need the whole kli in together. We said we learned tfilas kelim from tfilas nida. So just like tfilas nida has to be kol gufa bevasachas, so too the tfilas kelim has to be kol akli bevasachas. But when it comes to hagola, it's not necessary. You can be magil half the kli first, and then be magil the other part of the kli later. But, as we said, the water has to touch every part of the kli. That's why you have to remove the chaluda. The Shulchan Aruch says later in Siman Tov Nun Beis Sif Dalet that if you're going to be magil the kli and you're going to hold it bitzvas, you're going to hold it with like a tweeze, a tongue, because, you know, you can't just lower it into the pot for some reason, so then you got to be very careful to move around the kli. You can't hold it with the tongue so strongly that the boiling water is not going to get there. That's no different than having rust on the kli. That's a problem. The Mishnah Berurah points out there in Tofnun Beis and Sivkot Mechav Gimel that it's better to be magil besal, better to be magil in a basket, or to somehow, to tie a string around the kli and to lower it, a string around the piece of silverware and lower it into the kli. Better not to use the tongue, because the tongue is going to hold the kli and then the boiling water is not going to touch every part of the kli. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you're magil basal, you have to be careful not to do hagolah on too many kelim at the same time, because once again, if it's too many kelim and they're going to be heavy on each other, then they're going to prevent the boiling water from touching the kli, and then it's not going to be a proper hagolah. The common minig is that if you go to a big hagolah's kelim, they use asbestos gloves. The person who does hagolah, he holds the kli with the glove and he takes it from hand to hand. He has two gloves on his hands. He's able to put them in boiling water because they're special gloves, so he can put the kli in and he moves it from hand to hand, and then there's no problem. Obviously, that's the best way to do things. Then you know for sure that you're inside the boiling water. But because of this reason, a very important klal is that hagolah has to be on every part of the kli. So one of the important nafkamina lemaisa in our context is, let's say you kasher a microwave. The shayla often comes up, how is a microwave kasher? So it seems to be a pretty simple question, since the iser is nivla through steam, so a stomach, kabbalah kafpolto, you'd be machsher the microwave by producing some kind of steam. And in fact, that's the way that you are magil a microwave. What you do is you fill up a paper cup or something, fill up a pyre of a cup, a paper cup, with water. It doesn't have to be filled to the brim. You just need enough water that it's not going to break the microwave. But then you turn it on for whatever, 3-4 minutes, until you can really have a good hevel there, you have a good steam. When you open up the microwave door, you should see the steam pouring out of the microwave. So if you have a lot of steam, then that's going to kasher the whole microwave. But the problem is, it'll kasher the whole microwave except for one spot, and that is the spot below the cup. The spot below the cup is not going to get any steam. So the way that the microwave has to be kasher is that first you fill up the cup of water and produce steam, then very carefully put a glove on or wait until it cools down, whatever, but very carefully move that cup to a different spot on the glass tray. Then turn the microwave on again. And the second time, what you're doing is you're not kashering the microwave over again. You're just kashering the spot below the cup that couldn't get the boiling water the first time. Right? That's the first yisod. The first yisod in Hagolah is that you have to make sure that the boiling water is going to hit every spot of the kli. So whatever kli you're trying to be machshir, you have to make sure that every spot of the kli is going to be hit by the boiling water. Morty.
If people use the gloves, I know we said this by Sheila, if they get the gloves wet, can they also have the same idea of like grabbing onto it? Is it the same machlok as there, or is it different because it's hagolah?
I'm not sure. I think it's a little bit different because the problem is that you need the boiling water to actually touch the kli. So once if you get your hands wet, but then you take them outside of the boiling vat, so then that water is certainly cooling down. So then when you hold the kli, if you're not going to bring, one of the hands has to be outside the water to bring the kli in, right? So the hand that leaves the boiling vat to get the kli, the water on that hand is going to cool off, so then that's not going to work. We don't say, it's not a din in chibur, it's a din in having boiling water touching the kli. So I think it's necessary to move the kli from one hand to the other in order to make sure that the boiling water is going to be touching every part of the kli. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Nun Aleph Sif Chaf talks about shulchanos, tables. Right. Let's say you want a kasha tables for Pesach. You want a kasha from Chometz. We mentioned that most of the halachas of Hechsher Kelim that appear in Or Chaim and Siman Tov Nun Aleph are talking about Chometz, but they're easily transferable to Yisurin as well. So let's say you use a table, or in our parlance, a counter. Right. Let's say you have a countertop that throughout the year you use for Chometz. So how do you kasha that? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to be ma'ara roschim on the table. Irui kli rishon, that you pour boiling water from that kli. The Mishnah Berurah points out that actually Irui is not really enough. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, but Irui, some posts can point out that Irui is not going to be enough for this. Why? Because there are times that you'll put solid food directly on the countertop, directly on the table. He calls it pashtida, right? Some kind of a meat pie. But it's pie, it's chametz stick. So the problem is, if you put that solid food, that hot solid food, on the countertop, then it'll be treated as if it was used b'kli rishon. What is the Mishnah Berurah referring to? So there's an old discussion in the Achronim, the Ramah, the Marshal. There are different poskim that discuss the status of a dover gush, of a solid food, both for Issa v'Heter and for Shabbos. The Marshal is of the opinion that a dover gush is like a kli rishon. The rule of kli sheni doesn't apply to a dover gush, doesn't apply to a solid. It only applies to a liquid. Tosus in Shabbos points out that the reason why we hold kli sheni einu mevashel, that kli sheni is a lower level than a kli rishon, is because the funos mekareros, that when you put a liquid into a kli sheni, since the liquid forms to the kli can cool it off. Right? You put soup into a bowl, so the soup is going to cool down. It's not going to cool down instantaneously, but it will cool down. So because the defanos are makaros, so the kli sheni is not on the same level as the kli rishon. It's not normal to be mevashel in the kli sheni. So it functions differently. It has different halachas. So zokta marshal, a dover gush doesn't have a din of a kli sheni because it doesn't form to the kli. It just sits in the kli. It has its own walls. So because you can't say defanos makaros, so he wants to suggest that a dover gush has the status of a kli rishon. So it seems to be, that's what the Mishnah Berurah is referring to over here, that if you're going to put a dover gush of chametz on top of the countertop, if we're afraid that at some point in the year it'll be on top of the countertop, so then maybe we should look at the countertop not as something that got a spritz of chametz, that kabola kachpolto, the blia was only through iri kli rishon, so maybe the plata will be through iri kli rishon as well, but rather we should look at it as though it was nestamish bo b'kli rishon mamish. Because if the dover gush coming from a kli rishon has the status of a kli rishon, then we should look at the countertop as being used in a kli rishon mamish. So then the question is, how are you machshir the countertop? What do you do? What do you do? You can't put the whole countertop into a kli rishon. What's that? What does that mean? So says the Mishnah Berurah, if we're going to be machmer for this sheet in the poskim, then the only way to kasha the countertop is through an even meluban. What does an even meluban mean? So that's the Ramah that I asked you to see. The Ramah in different contexts talks about a red hot stone. A hot stone. They sell these kits, you know, for the Pesach kashering that have, a tang, some kind of a metal tang, and they have a stone. And they have other things, other paraphernalia to do Haggadah. So I'm sure if you looked at these things in the Judaica stores or where they sell these things, you're probably wondering, what in the world is the stone for? So this is what the stone is for. There are those who are machmer that sometimes you need the din of a kli rishon mamish, but yet you're not going to put the item into a kli rishon because you just can't. So what you do is you heat up the stone. And then what you have to do is you have to pour boiling water on the countertop and put the stone on top of the boiling water, or sort of somehow do it simultaneously. Okay, the way the Ramah describes it, you put the stone down, then you pour boiling water on top of the stone. I'm not sure how that's going to work, because then the boiling water is not going to get below the stone. So Lechora, what he means is simultaneously, right? You pick it up a little bit and put the stone back on. So what that does is it raises, right? What's going to happen? It's going to hiss. It raises the temperature just a little bit more. So we look at that area not as getting a hechsher through iri kli rishon, but rather it's getting a hechsher through kli rishon mamish. So that's the way to be machshir the countertop. Some ataka machmir based on this Mishnah Berurah. Some machmir. I heard Rabbi Shechter felt that you have to be machshir the countertops through the even meluban, not just through the iri kli rishon. In fact, Rabbi Shechter, from what I heard, he holds that you have to be machshir a sink as well in the same way. In the same way, because there's a chashash, maybe some solid chametz touched the sink. Even if you have a stainless steel sink, that is kasherable, but maybe some solid chamesh touched the sink, and if we're machmer for davar gush, so then we would need a kli rishon mamish, but you can't put the sink into a kli rishon. So Rabbi Shechter would hold that you have to use the evan meluban, you have to pour the boiling water and put the hot brick on every part of the sink, but it's so difficult to do. How can you do that? So I believe Rabbi Shechter just holds that you need to use an insert. You put an insert into the sink. Don't kasher the sink. You know, kasher it with boiling water if you'd like, just, you know, for the basic kashering, but you should put an insert, and they have these plastic inserts that you have on the sink. And Rabbi Shechter would probably hold that you have to cover your countertops. Don't kasher the countertops. Clean them, but then cover them, because you really can't kasher them. The only way to kasher them is through the Evan Meluban. And practically, it's not going to work very well. It's going to be very hard to do. So he holds that you have to just cover, you have to put the insert into the sink and cover the countertops properly. Rabbi Willig is a bit more makel. I think he holds you don't need the Evan Meluban. He says that Irik Klivishon is enough. First of all, Dover Gush is a chumrah by itself. What's more, Rov Tashmish of the countertop and the sink is not through the Pashtida, right? You're not putting Dover Gush most of the time on the countertop and in the sink. So Rov Tashmishu is definitely through Irik Kli Rishon. So there's what to be Mitzarif Lekula, to say that Irik Kli Rishon is enough for the Hechshir. So certainly when it comes to the sink, I think there's what to be Mekel for Takasha with Irik Kli Rishon, if you have a stainless steel sink. If you have an earthenware sink, if you have an enamel sink, a porcelain sink, you can't kasha that. That's cheres, we said before, you can't kasha that. So someone who has a porcelain sink will have to use an insert anyway. But if you have a stainless steel sink, like many people have nowadays, then I think there are many poskim who would say that Irik Kli Rishon is enough to kasha the sink. Now you do have to be careful. You can't just let it cascade throughout the sink. You really have to move the tea kettle all around the sink as best as you can to make sure that it touches every spot. But Irik Kli Rishon, lachor, is enough for the sink. For the countertops, I know a lot of people, they get granite countertops, they redo their kitchens, and they like the countertop, and it's a very beautiful look, and they'd love to have that look for Pesach as well. The problem is, Irik Kli Rishon on the granite countertop, first of all, it might ruin the countertop. You know, there are seams. Many countertops have seams in them. So even if the granite countertop can withstand the boiling water, but the seams cannot. From what I've been told, the glue in the seams can get ruined if you put boiling water on it. What's more, forget about the countertop itself. It's very hard to contain the water. You're going to make a big mess on the floor and all over and the cabinets. It's not recommended. I strongly recommend that people should cover their countertops for Pesach. Don't try to kasher them. You're going to make a mess. You might ruin the countertop. And for 8 days a year, I think we can handle just covering the countertops. In fact, there are some coverings that they sell in stores. It's like a hard plastic. Hard plastic that's a little malleable that you can cover the countertop. You can even see the countertop below it. So if you want to see the countertop, it's not such a big deal. They sell a harder plastic that you can't see through, but it protects the countertop very well. You can also use that kind of thing. But I think that's the best thing to do, just from a practical standpoint. From a halachic standpoint, I think Irik Kli Rishon is probably enough. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do practically. So I think it's probably much better just to cover the countertops. Okay. Efrain.
When it comes to the see-through plastic that you put on your countertops, does it matter how many layers you put on, or is one layer enough?
I think one layer is enough. Even I'm not talking about the very thin plastic that you would use, you know, like on your table. I mean, there are different levels of plastic. If it's like the simple thin plastic, the disposable thin plastic that people use, you know, one per meal, so that I don't think is enough, because that's going to get punctured, it's going to get holes in it, and it's not going to accomplish anything. But they sell this harder type of plastic that, you know, there are some people that they don't want to ruin their tablecloth, maybe it's not washable or something, so they'll put a hard plastic down, and they'll wash it down. They'll wash down the hard plastic, or sometimes they'll put the soft plastic on top of the hard plastic, but like the hard plastic, you know, remains there for a long period of time. So I think that harder plastic that's a little, you know, that's bendable, that plastic is not going anywhere. You're not going to puncture that by putting things on top of it. So that kind of plastic, I think one level is sufficient. Okay. The Gemara Pesachim Adaf Lamed Amid Beis has another halacha, that Eitz Porur Magilo Beroschen of a Kli Rishon. If you have a wooden stirrer, then you have to be Magalit B'Kli Rishon. The Mordechai there, Imsachim, points out that you have to be magil not just the eitz par, not just the part of the stir that enters into the kli rishon, enters into the pot, but even the handle, even the beis yad, even the handle has to be kashered as well. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Tzimin Tov Nun Aleph Sif Yud Beis. The Mishnah Brura there in Sifkotin Samaches quotes two reasons as to why you should have to kasher the handle as well. First glance, it seems like a pella. You're not using the handle. The handle doesn't really enter. Really? It doesn't enter at all. It doesn't enter into the kedera. If it entered into the kedera, you'd burn your hand. So you're holding the stirrer from the handle. But the handle is not entering into the kedera. So why should you have to be magal the handle? It's not yatzo lettuce bow there, because if it were, then you wouldn't be able to hold it. So what's the reason that you have to be magal it? So the Mishnah Berurah first quotes a reason that maybe the tam is that cham miktsas o cham kulo. We've mentioned this concept before, right? Cham miktsas o cham kulo. That means that heat spreads. Basically means heat spreads. Cham miktsas, if part of it is hot, then cham kulo, the whole thing becomes hot. If you have a blia and part of the kli, then the blia is going to spread to the other part of the kli. That's the first reason why that the Mishnah Berurah gives for why the Mordechai says that you have to be magil the handle. Because even if you only have the blia in the part of the kli that's entering into the kedera, but the blia is going to spread to the handle as well. Now this tam really is dependent on a machlokas in the poskim. Michael Reinhardt?
Is that the reason, would that be the reason why we wouldn't say by, let's say if we go back to the microwave case, why always, when you cook in a microwave, you're covering that spot. So you'd say maybe, oh, it's always covered, then we need to put it in again. But right, because of the fact that the heat makes it spread, that's the reason why you'd have to put it in a second time?
Well, you don't really know where the item that you're putting in the microwave is situated. You know, it could be on this part of the microwave or that part of the microwave. But I thought what you were referring to is maybe in the Hagola process, if I put steam in the microwave in every spot except under the cup, but then the plata should also be bekulo. Just like the blia is bekulo, it should suck out the blia from underneath the cup. Yeah, so that is true. But this discussion of chamek tzos ocham kulo is dependent on a machlokas in the poskim. The Magen Avraham writes, the chamek tzos ocham kulo taka does mean that the blia spreads throughout the kli, but it's not going to be maflit from the whole kli. Right? It's only a one-way chamek tzos ocham kulo. That's the chumra of the Magen Avraham. Not everyone agrees with that. The Shach and Yaradeya in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph Sukkot Yud Zayin quotes other shitas. He quotes the Ra'o, for example, who says that midin chamek tzos ocham kulo, it's mavliya bekulo and it's mafli bekulo. So according to the Ra'o, you taka right, Michael. You should be able to kasha the microwave just by putting the water, allowing the water to boil up and leaving it in one spot. You don't have to move it to the next spot, because just like chamek tzos ocham kulo creates a problem bekulo, so too, the haflata will be bekulo as well. So there's no reason to move around the cup. But to be machmer for the Magen Avraham, it's better to move the cup to the other spot. The Mishnah Berurah has a different reason why you should have to be magil the handle. Even if we'll say, like the Shach, that chamek tzos ocham kulo can work in the plata as well, so then there shouldn't be any problem. Mitzad chamek tzos ocham kulo, you could just be magil the main part of the kli, the main part of the spoon or the stir, and that'll take out the blia from the handle too. So Zokta Mishnah Bura, the second reason why you have to be magal the handle, according to the Mordechai, is more of a practical reason, and that is that we're afraid that maybe Isser fell directly on the handle itself. Right? Maybe Isser fell directly on the handle itself. So you have to be magal that chelik of the kli. That chelik of the kli has to enter into the kli rishon itself. If it doesn't enter into the kli rishon itself, so then that's going to be a problem. It's not just that chamek tzos ocham kulo. It's not just that chamek tzos ocham kulo. Even if we don't assume chamek tzos ocham kulo bichlal, there are some shitas that the Shach quoted that there is no such din as chamek tzos ocham kulo to move the blia. That's not what chamek tzos ocham kulo means. There's one sheet that says, chamek tzos ocham kulo means exactly what it says, that from a scientific perspective, if you put heat on one side of the kli, and you have blia on the other side of the kli, so that heat is going to produce heat on the other side of the kli, and then it'll have a blia on that part of the kli. But the blia doesn't spread, the heat spreads. Right? Exactly like the science says. If you put a metal kli into fire, so then you'll feel the fire on the other side of the kli. But it's not that the belia spreads. So what's the problem over here? The problem here is that we're afraid that maybe some mamushas, maybe some iser, actually touched the handle. This is what the Bach writes, that it's impossible that the handle is not going to get some kind of a spritz, some kind of mamushas on the handle. If some mamushas is going to touch the handle, so then it'll asa the handle directly. So that's why you have to, kasha the handle as well. What's an afkamina, whether we say this way, we say that way, whether we have to kasha the handle because of cham tzas or cham kulo, or because practically we're afraid that some issa may have touched the handle directly. So there are many, many issues that hinge on this question. The first and most basic issue is what kind of a handle needs hechsher? What kind of a kli are we talking about? So according to the Tam of cham tzas or cham kulo, we're only talking about a metal kli, right? A metal kli conducts heat, so the heat's going to spread. But if you have a wooden kli or an earthenware kli, right? An earthenware, right? If the handle is made out of cheres, if the handle is made out of eitz, the bli is not going to spread there because the heat is not going to be conducted through the earthenware in the same way. It's not going to be conducted through the wood in the same way. So if you hold of the tam of chamek tzaso chamekulo, l'chori should not have to kasha the handle. And that's a good thing if the handle is cheres, because you can't kasha the cheres anyway. Right? But you could kasha the eitz, but you won't have to kasha the handle because it's not going to spread. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and points out, from the lashon of the Mordechai, it would appear that you do have to kasha the handle even if it's wood. Why is it masher from the Mordechai that you have to kasha? Because the Mordechai makes his statement on a Gemara. Mordechai says you have to kasha the handles in addition to the main part of the kli. What's the Gemara talking about? Eitz porer magilo beroschon of a kli rishon. The Gemara says that you have to kasha the eitz porer. What's the kli made out of there? Wood. Eitz porer. And yet the Mordechai says that you have to kasha the eitz porer as well. So it's clearly mashma that you should have to kasha a kli, have to kasha the handle of the kli, even if the handle is made out of wood. So what's the Mordechai assuming? Mordechai is machmer for the other time that you have to kasha the handle, not just because of cham tzas or cham kulo, but rather because we're afraid that maybe some iser went onto the handle of the kli, and if it went onto the handle of the kli, then you have to kasha the handle of the kli. So if the handle of the kli is going to be made out of cheres, you can't kasha the kli, because you can't kasha the handle. Right? So that's apparently what the Mordechai is assuming. He's machmer even for that sheet. That's one nafgamina between the two approaches of the Mishnah Berurah. Another nafgamina, yes, Solomon.
Basically, can it be enough just to do iri to a part of the kli? Because since...
Excellent point, we're going to get to it. Yes, yes, we're going to get to that. Okay? Another nafgamina would be, let's say the kli only became usur from one use. You made a mistake and you used the kli, you used a dairy spoon in a flesh of the pot of cholent, right? And you know, it's only one time. Right? You put the spoon in and you quickly took it out, gewalt. But you know that nothing touched the handle. So if nothing touched the handle, why should you have to kasha the handle? So if you assume cham tzas or cham kulo, it doesn't matter that it's only once. If the bli is spread, then you'd have to kasha the handle. But if the problem is that we're afraid that maybe something spritzed onto the handle, if you know for sure that nothing spritzed onto the handle, it's not like we're talking about a kli that was used by Isser, you know, many times, or, you know, it was used in a bad way, many different situations. You don't know what happened. Here it was one time, and you know for sure that nothing spritzed onto the handle, so according to the second time, there's no reason to have to kasher the handle, because there's no chamek tzas or cham kulo to contend with. Another issue that might hinge on this question is, let's say the handle is made out of a different substance than the ikara kli. You know, we're thinking maybe the handles, it's like a piece of silver. A piece of silver, it's all made out of metal. But let's say the handle is made out of a different substance, and it's attached to the kli. Attached to the kli with a screw of some sort, you know. So do you have to kasha that? Do you have to kasha the handle in that case? So if you're kashing the handle because of chamek tzas or cham kulo, so l'chora, chamek tzas or cham kulo is only going to spread, it's going to spread the blia if it's one kli. But if the kli is made out of different substances, and it's just attached, you know, it's attached in some way that it's really two separate units, it could very well be that chamek tzas or cham kulo is not going to play a role over here. I mean, obviously, it depends on the nature of the kli and how it's attached, etc. But comes the Chasam Sofer and says he thinks you should have to kasher the handle even in this circumstance, because you don't know, maybe something spritzed onto the handle. Again, that second time, it's not just based on this Cham Ektos or Cham Kulo, but rather it's based on the fact that we're afraid that maybe something spritzed onto the handle that's going to force us to kasher the handle. You should know that a kli, just in general, a kli that has a handle, if it's attached from two different pieces, that presents its own problems. Because we mentioned that if there are any charitzim, any nooks and crannies and crevices in the kli, so that generates its own problems. It can generate rust, it can generate dirt in there. If you don't remove all the dirt, you can't do hagol on the kli anyway. So it's if a kli really is composed of different parts, you're gonna run into issues anyway. It probably should be avoided to try to kasher it, unless you can clean it out properly. The fourth and final nafkamina is what Solomon mentioned, that the Rama writes in Sif Yud Beis that even l'chatchila one can do hagola on the handle with iri kli rishon. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah says that what are we afraid of? We're afraid of a spritz. If all we're afraid of is the spritz, so then iri kli rishon should be sufficient. Right? Cham mitzos or cham kulo. So, it could be that, according to the Magen Avraham, there's more room to be machmer. If you're afraid of Cham Ektos or Cham Kulo, so then maybe Yitaka would need Hagol and a Kli Rishon Mamish. If you really hold like the Magen Avraham, then you'd have to be more machmer. But if you say that we're only concerned about the spritz, of course, Kabbalah Kafalta would tell me that if the Issa was through a spritz, then the Heksher can be through the spritz as well. Okay, so these are some of the different nafkamina between these two approaches. Now, it's very important to keep in mind these different issues. I'll give you a practical example. There are many kalim that the handle is made out of plastic. I had a knife. Many knives have a plastic handle to them. Now, if you put a plastic handle into boiling water, it might melt. Right? There is a real concern that it might melt. So according to the Rama, that's a big kula, that you can pour boiling water onto the plastic handle. Pouring boiling water is much less than putting it into the boiling water itself. You can pour boiling water, do iri kli rishon on the plastic handle to kasher that handle, and perhaps you would not have to put it into boiling water itself. Even if you hold of Cham Ektos or Cham Kulo, in the case of the plastic handle, it could very well be that Cham Ektos or Cham Kulo is not going to spread the bli. It's not metal to metal, it's metal to plastic. Mistama, the bli is not going to spread. That's why you're holding the knife with the plastic spoon or the plastic fork. You're holding it by the plastic because the heat is not spreading to that area. So if the only thing that you're concerned about is the spritz onto the plastic handle, so then it would seem that iri kli rishon would be sufficient in order to kasher the handle. You'd have to put the knife into the boiling water, but you can use iri kli rishon for the plastic handle. But the eved, if you didn't kasher the handle, the Rama says it's still okay. Right? It's still okay. Why? Because even bekli matchis, right, there's a question whether we hold of Cham Ektos or Cham Kulo. Right, so you can put a tzir of hashitas together. We don't know if there was a spritz, and maybe Cham Ektos or Cham Kulo does work in the hagola. So as long as you're magil, the ikar akli, b'dieved, that's okay. L'chatchila, one should try to kasher the handle as well, but it would seem, based on what we're saying, that in many cases, iri kli rishon might work for the handle. You would not have to actually put it into the boiling water itself. Okay, questions? Okay, let's shift now to another issue. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Nun Beis Sif Aleph talks about when you should do Hagolah, at least for Chametz Pesach. Right? The Shulchan Aruch makes the statement that we've said many times, that better to do Hagolah Erev Pesach before the Zman HaIsa, right? Before the Shoah Chamishis, before the Chametz becomes Asa. Why? He says because if you wait until the Zman Issa, so then you're going to have to be careful with one of two things. Right, you'll either have to make sure that there's shishim in the water connected the kli that you're being magil, or that the kli is a kli she'ena ben yama. Right, these are the concepts that we've been talking about the last couple of days. Right, you basically have to make sure that the bliya that's coming out of the kli is not going to aser the water. Because once the Zman HaIsa comes, even if you hold Chametz's hetera bala, once the Zman HaIsa comes, we look at it as Isura bala for sure. Right? These are all the concepts that we've been mentioning, right? Once the Zman HaIsa comes, so then what the Bliya that comes out, we look at it as Bliya Shal Issa. So if you don't have Shishim in the water, or if it's not a Kli, Shein HaBen Yomo, then it'll Asa the water. like the Rabbeinu Baruch says, when machmer the chaticha nasas nevel even by shari surim. So once you asa the water, then you're going to have a problem. You'll asa the water, then it'll asa the kli. You're not going to accomplish anything. So zok to shulchan aruch, be careful to be magal the kli before the zman ha'isser. Then we can assume, then you don't have to be concerned about the shishim or that it's an ena ben yomo, because it's heter, right? We'll assume that it's hetera bola. Right, that's clearly what the Shulchan Aruch is assuming. We'll assume chametz is hetera bala. Chametz is hetera bala, even if you don't have shishim, and even if it's a kli ben yomo, you just used it for chametz this morning. You used it last night. Okay, that's linas laila. Okay, you just used it this morning. It didn't even have a linas laila. Right? Doesn't matter if chametz is hetera bala. It's before the zman is, then it's not going to be a problem. Comes the bir halacha and asks the kasha. What's the Mechaber talking about? He says, if you're magil before the Zman HaIsser, then the Chametz is only Heter Bola. You don't have to be concerned to have Shishim in the water, or that it should be a cliche in a Ben Yomo. The Mechaber is Soser himself. Didn't we quote the Mechaber earlier? Simen Tof Nun Aleph Siv Dalet. The Mechaber says, what's the din? What's the Iker Chilik between Heter Bola and Yisur Bola? That if it's Tashmishwa Yidei Ha'or, normally we assume you need Libun. If you used it in the fire, then you need Libun to be Machsherit. But the Tosis in different places, the Rosh, we had the Rosh and others, the Ritva quoted the Ramban, right? The Rishonim will say that if it's a Tera Bala, even if it's Tashmisho, Be'esh, it's enough to do Hagala, right? And the Mechaber says that by Chometz, we have to be Machmer, Tashmisho, Ayde Ha'or, needs Libun. That's what the Mechaber paskins in Simen Tof Nun Aleph Siv Dalet. The Mishnah Berurah explained the Mechaber is Machmer for the Ramban. The Mechaber assumes the Chametz is Surabala. You have to assume Chametz is Surabala. And the Ramah says the Minig is Kisvar Rishona. So what's going on over here? The Mechaber says Tashmishua Yidei Ha'or requires Libun by Chametz. Hagol is not enough. So you see clearly from that, that the Mechaber holds Chametz is Surabala. And yet over here, the Mechaber says in Tofen and Beis that be careful that you do the Hagolah Bizman Heter when it's still Hetera Bola, so that you don't need Shishim, you don't need that the Kli is an Eino Ben Yamo. What's going on? Is it Yisura Bola or is it Hetera Bola? What's the Mechaber Shita? The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that maybe the answer for the Mechaber is this, that the Mechaber really holds that Chametz Hetera Bola. As you see from Tofnin Beis. That's why the Mechaber says, as long as you're Machshir, the Kelim, as long as you do Hagolah before this Zman Issa, there's no problem. You don't have to have Shishim in the water, and you don't have to make sure it's a cliche in a Ben Yomo, because Chometz Heter Bala, really. What's Pshat in the Mechaber earlier? Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, what the Mechaber is saying is this. Well, why do we normally say Tashmishu Ayidei Ha'or in Heter Bala only requires Hagolah for the Hechshir? Why? So one way to look at it is that once you Magil the Kli, then whatever bli of Issa you had there becomes a tam kolish, right? Whatever bli, I should say, of heta that you have over there becomes a tam kolish. And if it becomes a tam kolish, if it's a weakened tam, weakened qualitatively, then when the zman Issa is going to be chal on it, the Issa is not going to be chal. You can't have a shame Issa chal on a tam kolish. That's one way to look at it. But maybe we could look at it differently, that it's not a function of the tam becoming qualitatively weaker. Maybe the pshat is that if you do Hagolah on the tam when it's heter, so what are you doing? You are making the blia less, right? Some of the blia is going to come out. Quantitatively, the blia is not going to be, there isn't going to be as much blia in the walls of the pot. It's not that qualitatively it's going to become kolish, but there isn't going to be as much blia. It's going to take out all the blia in the pot, kimat all. It might leave a little bit, but it's going to take out almost all the blia. So then, when you use the kli later, it's not going to produce any iser. And that's what the Torah says. Do Hagolah. You'll take out almost all the blia from the kli, even though there will be a tam that remains in the kli. But it doesn't matter. It's only a mashu. It's not going to aser. So the Torah says that's fine. So if it's a terabola, what's going to happen over here? If it's a terabola, you'll take out most of the blia in the kli. Right? You'll take out most of the blia in the kli. And then what? And then whatever's remaining in the kli is only a mashu, so no issa is going to be chal on that mashu. It's not going to be a problem. Right? But if you have a kli shel issa, and you're not going to have shishim, or you're not going to have it's not an Eino Ben Yomo, so then the problem is, it's going to be Chatichah Ma'aseh Tevel in the water, and then it'll Aseh the Kli again, so you're not going to accomplish anything. But if it's all Heter Ebola, there's no Chatichah Ma'aseh Tevel, so then we're only concerned about the Bli and the Kli, but the Bli and the Kli is going to come out. And once the Bli and the Kli is going to come out, all you have is a Mashu, it's not a problem. It's not a problem, except for Pesach. It's not going to be a problem in Kodshim, because once a Machsha, the Kli, when it's Heter Ebola, then the Bliya comes out, you only have a Mashu left. A Mashu of Chatas is not going to Aseh. A mashu of Noser is not going to ask it. But a mashu of Chametz is going to ask it, because Chametz is also b'mashu. Zokti Yarech HaShulchan, that's what the Mechaber is saying. Even if Chametz had terabola, and therefore you should try to be careful, says the Mechaber, to kasher the clay Chametz before the Zman HaIsser. But nevertheless, Tashmisho Al Yidei Ha'or requires Libun. You can't do Hagola, because Hagola is not going to work for you. It's still going to leave a mashu. And if it leaves a mashu, then when the Zman HaYisr comes, it'll create an Yisr Chametz in the mashu, because Chametz is also a mashu. So that's the pshat in the Mechaber, that there's going to be no stira between the two shitas of the Mechaber. Muri.
We've always said yet to the Rus, that if the Rus know a little bit, and you did hug out to the entire Kli, that's not going to be us or the mashu.
I'm sorry?
Can we use this far for, if there's Rus on the Kli, that as long as it's a terabala, that it won't matter if it's only a little bit of Rus?
I think the problem is that if you're not machshir the whole kli, the Torah doesn't allow you to use a kli shel iser. Right? We know that even if it's not going to aser, it's still going to be a problem. The Torah requires that you be machshir the whole kli. So if you're not going to be machshir the whole kli, and there was iser, and there is iser in the bottom of that kli, so it turns out that you were never machshir the kli. There's a chelik of the kli that you were not machshir, so then you can't use the kli. It's a different svara. It's not just that it's not going to aser, right? If you only have a mashu left in the kli, what's the big deal? The answer is, you're not allowed to use a kli shel iser. Now, just like there's a din d'rabbanan that you can't use a kli she'ena ben yama, what's the pshat? You can't use a kli she'ena ben yama. So we said, Chazal say you use the kli be'iser, even though right now it's not going to aser, because all the bliya that comes out is nosen tam of gam, it doesn't matter, it's a kli shel iser, so therefore you can't use it. Minat Torah, the same thing holds true. The Torah does not allow you to use a kli shel iser. So you have to be machshir the whole kli. If you're not going to be machshir the whole kli, even if it's only a mashu, it doesn't matter. You have to be machshir the whole kli. But if you are machshir the whole kli, and all that remains is just a mashu after that process, so that's what hechshir is supposed to do, according to the Torah, according to this approach. Hechshir is supposed to be machshir the kli, to take out most of the bliya, to leave only a mashu. So as long as I did my hechshir, my maisa hechshir is on the whole kli, I can do it lachatzoyin, but I can do it step by step, but it has to be on the whole kli. As long as it's doing the whole kli, so then it's okay. Let's say you have to be machshir a kli, that's a ben yama. Let's say you have to. Let's say it's not, right? You can't, let's say we're talking about iser, not even chametz, right? Iser, you have bas b'chalim, and for some reason you have to use this kli right now. I don't know what the circumstances are. They talk about the poskim have different circumstances in factories, right? Let's say you have to. The factory is going to have a run, and they can't not work for a day. You know, they do a non-kosher run, and then they're going to do a kosher run. So, what are you supposed to do? How can you be machshir the kelim? Is there a way to be machshir the kelim even if it's a ben yama? Isn't that going to create a problem with chatichah nasas nevel? We keep on saying that you're going to do hagola, but you're going to ruin the water with chatichah nasas nevel. So, what's the solution? So some of the posts can point out that the solution to the problem is to put a caustic cleanser, ammonia or some kind of caustic cleanser, into the water itself. What does that do? The answer is it's pogame the water. This is a new concept in Hechshir. The Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simen Sadi Hei in Yerideya quotes a chiddush, Yeroy Ali, the Mechaber says, Yeroy Ali, that if you put Efer, if you cook Efer in the pot of Isser, then that's pogame the pot, and it's okay. This is a chiddush of the Beis Yosef. It's not in the poskim. It's not earlier than, it's not in the Rishonim, I should say. It's in the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that if you put Efer, that's what they had. They didn't have, you know, ammonia and, I don't know, other caustic cleanses. So, but they had Efer. They had ash, and the ash tasted terrible. So if you somehow you cook up ash into the kli, it's going to put a bad taste into the kli. So the Mechaber says, he thinks that you know, if you do that, then the kli is now a kli shel eter, because it's all nosen tam of gam. It's not going to be a problem. So the Shach and the Taz are not so happy with this Mechaber. The Shach and the Taz say, yeah, if you did that, then b'diavad it's not going to aser anymore. But l'chatchila, we shouldn't be marsha the kli like that, right? It happens. I mean, it can work, but you know, it's not the. It really shouldn't be marsha the kli in such a fashion. So comes the Chazanish and says, but in the Shach and the Taz are talking about Afer. Are they talking about the caustic cleanses that we have? Comes the Chazanish, he says a big Chiddush, he says a Kula. He says, even the Shach and the Taz would agree that our caustic cleanse is definitely a pogam. And even Lechatchila, you can use them to be pogam the Kli. And once you pogam the Kli, it turns out the Kli is not a Kli Shalissa B'chlan. That's never Blias Isser in the Kli. The Blias Isser is now Pogam Lagamri. So if it's Pogam Lagamri, then there's no reason to ask it. So this is a kula that a lot of kashrus organizations use. That if they have to be Marsha Kalim, that are B'nai Yoma, what they do is they're Pogam. They do a Hagola that's Pogam at the same time. Right? They're Pogam, they put a caustic cleanser into the water, and they're Pogam the water in that way, so they can kasher even Kalim that are B'nai Yoma. What happens if you didn't do Hagolah before Pesach? You didn't kasher the cat, you forgot. Or let's say you made a mistake and you cooked chametz on Pesach. It can happen, right? You used the matzah meal, but it was the chametz tikka matzah meal, not the Pesach tikka matzah meal. You know, things get messed up. That's why you have to put the strings on, you have to put tape on in the proper way that you're not going to ruin the cabinets and everything, but you have to, you know, put signs up to make sure people are not going to use the chametz tikka things. But it happens every Pesach that people make mistakes. So they give out the frying pan. They use the frying pan. They use the chametz tikka thing, chametz tikka dishes, and the frying pan, chametz tikka silverware, and the frying pans. No, don't ask. Things can happen. So what do you do? Can you be machsher on Pesach? We keep on talking about doing it before the Zman Ha'issa. So what do you do on Pesach itself? So comes the Ramah in Siman Tov Nun Beis Sif Aleph and says that if you didn't do Hagolah before Pesach, you cannot do Hagolah on Pesach. You cannot kasher on Pesach. Because Chametz is Asa B'mashu. Chametz is Asa B'mashu. So on Pesach, there's no way that you can do Hagolah. What's it going to do for you? It's Isser. Right? It's Isser. So what's the Hagolah going to accomplish? Right? You have your water. So you say, well, but I have Shishim. Shishim doesn't do anything on Pesach. Because it's Asa B'mashu. You can have Elif. It's not going to help you. Eino ben yomo, you'll say, I'll wait 24 hours. Okay, the first day chalamoid, I can't use it, but the second day I can use it. Eino ben yomo is not going to help you. The Ramah holds that nosin tam levgam is osar on Pesach. Right? The Ramah l'shitaso that holds that nosin tam levgam is a problem on Pesach. So if nosin tam levgam is a problem, then eino ben yomo is not going to work either. So the Ramah would say that if you made a mistake and you cooked chametz on Pesach, or let's say you didn't do agola on something before Pesach, you can't kasher on Pesach, you can't use it at all. Can't use it at all. Now, according to the Mechaber, there might be room to be maker. Because as we mentioned, the Mechaber and the Ramah have a machlokas where the Nosan Tam Lefgam applies by Pesach Hanah. We said that's a machlokas, the Ran and the Rashba, remember? The Prima Gadim said that's the Nafgamina between the Ra'ah and the Rashba. Whether the heter of Nosan Tam Lefgam is based on Bittel, that you can't say a Tam Ke'ikar on Nosan Tam Lefgam, or no, it's Pogam Ba'atzmuso, it's a Nevela She'ena Ru'uya Leger, so therefore it's not going to ask it. If you hold Nevela She'ena Ru'uya Leger, so then there's no Isser here. That's mutter even on Pesach. If you hold it's based on Bittel, that you can't say Tam Ke'ikar, if it's Nosan Tam Lefgam, there is no Din Bittel on Chametz with Pesach. It's also B'mashu. The Ramah is Machmer, the Mechaber is Mekel, so according to the Mechaber, you have a solution. According to the Mechaber, the solution is wait 24 hours. If you wait 24 hours, then you can do Hagolah, you can kasher the Kalim. Okay, so that's an interesting nafkamina between the Mechaber and Ramah, whether you hold Nosan Tam Lefgam on Pesach or not. Hagolah is not going to work if it's a ben yomo, because shishim is not enough. Everyone holds chametz asa b'mashu, but nosin tam levgam is the machlokas mechaber amah. So according to the mechaber, you can wait 24 hours, and then something that you could kasher behagola, you'll be able to kasher with hagola over here as well. Yes, Solomon.
Can you do libun in this case if we say that it gets burned in its place?
Excellent, excellent, excellent point, Solomon. The Ramah, even according to the Ramah, you can do libun on Pesach. Libun chomer, you can do on Pesach. Let's say a person forgot to kasher the self-cleaning oven before Pesach. Or let's say they did something, you know, they put chametz in the oven. They made a chametz sticker mix. I don't know. They made, you know, with the matzah meal, the way we described it. So what do you do? So libun chomer, we said, is sorifas of libun chomer, Right? There's reason to believe that Liban Chomer could be sorry for Sabliyadim Kam. If Liban Chomer is sorry if the Bliya in its Makom, then even according to the Ramah, that would work on Pesach. Yeah, that should work. The Prima Gadim, though, has a suffix. What's the din of Liban Kal? Right, that's the Prima Gadim that I asked you to see. The Prima Gadim is not sure that Liban Kal, the lower level Liban, the Kash Nisraf, is that service of Liban Komo, or is that Maflit the Bliya? That's a suffix. So that suffix is going to be relevant for us. If Liban Kal is service of Liban Komo, so then maybe even on Pesach you can do a Liban Kal. But if it's only Maflit the Bliya, if it only expels the Bliya, then it's going to be the same issue. Then perhaps it might be the same issue over here because the Bliya might come out, then it'll go back in. You don't know. You don't know what's happening to that Bliya. Right? Only a Mashu might be going back in, but on Pesach even a Mashu is a problem. So that Prima Godim is very important, whether Liban Kal is Sarifus of Liban Komo, or maybe no. Maybe Liban Kal Tak is Maflit the Bliya. So that would be much more of an issue. Okay. Hey, we talked about some of these issues before. The level of heat that you need for Hagola, Kibola, Kachpolto, right? However it was used, Bekli Rishon, Be'iri Kli Rishon, whatever the level of heat was, the Mechaber, the Poskim say that that's the level of heat you need for the Hakshi. You don't really have to put it into boiling water. We normally like to put it into boiling water because we don't know what level of heat it was. But if you know exactly the level of heat, you know that it was only with the heat of Be'iri Kli Rishon, then that is sufficient for the Hechsher. The Torah has a comment. The Torah writes that the minig is that you put the kalim in to do Hagola and you take them out immediately. So the Taz comments, Taz in Simen Toflin Beis, Sefkotin Beis, says, he quotes from other poskim, who say you should leave it in a little bit. Leave it a little bit. You know, the it takes a little bit of time for the Bliya to leave the Kli. But the Pri Chodesh says no. The Torah says Miyad. That Miyad is enough. You don't have to leave it in a little bit. Miyad is enough. And Minag Yisrael Tari, he says. So comes the Shaar HaTzion in Tufnan Beis of Cotton Gimel, and he says, L'chadchili, you should leave it in a little bit. Now what's going on? Do you have to leave it in a little bit? What are they saying? So I think the pshat is this, that the Tor makes a comment, Miyad, that you can take it out Miyad. So the Taz was saying that, how can you take it out Miyad? You got to leave it in there a little bit. What does a little bit mean according to the Taz? It means got to leave it in for like 10 seconds or so. Not very long. But you have to leave it in a little bit so that the Bliya can come out. So comes the Pri Chodesh and says, 10 seconds? That you don't need. That you don't need. Miyad is enough. And the Mishnah Berurah is explaining what the Pri Chodesh means is you put it in and you take it out. You don't have to leave it in for 10 seconds. But you can't like put it in a split second and literally miyad take it out. It has to be there for 2 seconds, for 3 seconds. It doesn't have to be there like the Taz says, you know, for 10, 15 seconds, but it has to be there at least a little bit so that the Bliya can come out. That's lechor what you should do. Put it in leisurely, you know, don't do it so quick. Put it in, you know, put it from hand to hand and take it out. And that's the appropriate procedure to do Hagolah. Finally, the Shulchan Aruch in Tofnun Bey Siv Zayin writes that the minig is to rinse off the kli that we're magil in chamin, we rinse off the kli with cold water right after the Hagolah. Why do we rinse off the kli? The kli is clean. What are you rinsing off the kli exactly for? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkotin Lamed Aleph says that the reason is that we're afraid that some of the mayim roschim on the kli are going to be chose venivla into the kli. It has a plate of chametz. He's talking about chametz. Chametz is asa b'mashu. So we're afraid that some of the boiling water that has chametz in it is going to go back into the kli. This is what the Torah quotes b'shem Chuvas Rashi. We're afraid that maybe some of it's going to go back into the kli and it'll asa the kli. So l'chora, this time is very difficult because if we're going to be magil kalim, dafke if there ain't a b'nayoman, or if you have shishim in the water, so then there's no problem. Everything is batel. So if everything is batel, then there shouldn't be any problem at all. Why is that the minig? The minig is to always rinse it off with cold water because we're afraid some of it's going to go back into the kli. In most circumstances, there is no issa to speak of over here, b'chlal. So they point out Tosis in Masechet Avodah Zarah on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph has a different reason for why we rinse off the kli that we're magil. What does Tosfos say? He says, we know that when it comes to Kodshim, they did what's called Marika Ushtifa. We keep on using this Loshim. What does Marika Ushtifa mean? So the word Marika means Hagola, Bishol, right? To be Morek, to take out a Belia. But what does Shtifa mean? What Shtifa doesn't sound like you're doing that with boiling water. So the Gemara in Zvachim is a machlokes, what Shtifa means exactly. But everyone holds Shtifa means Bitsone. The question is, how much of a Shtifa do you need? Some Tanoim hold that you're supposed to rinse off the kli inside and out with cold water after the process. After the Hagola, after the Marika, you rinse it out both inside and out with cold water. And that's by kutchin. It's a discussion in the Gemara, big machlokas Tanoim, Amoroim, about the different aspects of this concept, Marika Shtifa. So some say that you have to rinse it off with cold water in and out by kutchin. But by Truma and Chul and other things that are on a lower level of than kutchin, then as long as you rinse it out on one side, that's not going to be inside and outside, as long as you rinse it on the outside, that's sufficient. Some say that you need a double rinse on the outside for kutchin. But by chulin and truma, a single rinse on the outside would be sufficient. So there seems to be some kind of halacha that in kutchin you need a super shtifa bitzonein, and in Shumma and Chulin, you don't need a super shtifa bitzonein, but you need some kind of shtifa bitzonein. Zok Tosfos, that's why the minig developed that we rinse the kli with cold water after Hagolah. The Loshon of Tosfos is, U'mashenagu lasas loses kli amugol b'mayim tzon nimiyad achar Hagolah, ein leida lama nagu kain. Well, why would they know it like that? The ein loma mishim detnam perek damchatas v'chacham momim riko v'chamen u'shtifa bitzonein, dayna b'kotshim avu b'tshumma kamar osim d'lesa. Right, the Chachamim say Marika b'cham and Shtifa b'tzonein. So that's not the reason. That's not the reason. So what taka is the reason? Let's take a look at the screen share, final screen share of the season. Let's take a look. Okay, what do we have over here? Oh, the Tosfos says like this: V'yesh mefarish hadakam a Shtifa yiserta haynu shtei Shtifas b'tzonein. Shtei Shtifas b'tzonein means the kutchim requires a double Shtifa with cold water. U'betruma lesa, but by truma you don't need that. The sagi b'shtifa achas. Shtifa achas is enough. The loshon yisera mash mekain. What does Shtifa yiserta mean? There's one loshon in the Gemara that the Chacham holds Shtifa yiserta. You need a double Shtifa b'tzonein. Double rinsing in cold water after Hagala b'chamin. By kutchim, but by truma you don't need. Truma and chulin are put together here. But by truma, shtifa achas is enough. Zok Tosfos al zeh nogu b'shtifa sonin b'chol hagolos. That's why they were knowing with all the hagolos we do a shtifa b'tzonin. He says, according to Rashi, it's a little difficult because Rashi there in Zvachim seems to say that shtifa b'tzonin is not a double shtifa, but it's only one shtifa. So if by kutchim you only need one shtifa, so why by chulin should you need any shtifa b'tzonin? So to that he says, lefikach tzarech tam laminig. According to Rashi, Zok Tosfos, you need a tam for the minig as to why you need a shtifa b'tzonein. According to Rashi, you'd have to say the other time. You'd have to say that we're afraid that some of it's going to come out. Some of the mayim roschim with the bli of Issa are going to go back into the kli. It's going to be a problem. But it's a big chiddush to say like that. According to Tosfos, it's very poshut. The reason why you need a shtifa b'tzonein is because it's exeris hakosef. It's exeris hakosef. I don't know what the reason is. Just like it's exeris hakosef that you need a shtifa b'tzonein, a double shtifa by klei kutchim, so too there's exeris hakosef that by klei chulin you'll need a single shtifa b'tzonein. So that's the minig. The minig is that you do a hagola, and after you do a hagola, you rinse off the kli b'tzonein. If you go to the main hagola center, so they have, you know, the person with the asbestos gloves is there. You give him the kli, the kalim. He puts them in one hand, puts it into the boiling water, keeps it there for a second or two, takes it out with his other hand, and puts it into a vat of cool water, and then gives you the kli. That's the Marika b'chamin, Hagola b'chamin, and the Shtifa b'tzonin, and that's the way that they kasha the kalim.